This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 34. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show about everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, dark fantasy, swords and sorcery, or anything else you can think of. We try to have the best and brightest authors, storytellers, and more from the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Just to kind of jump in with my personal update and get through that, we're heading into the summer. May is ending, June's rolling in soon, and I'm getting ready for the release of the second book in my Sapiens Run trilogy. Cyber's Escape is due to be released at the end of June on Friday the 28th, and so that's available out for pre-order right now, and I'm getting ready for that launch process and kind of getting some promotional things together for that. But with that, the sales of the first book, Cyber's Change, are still going strong. If you haven't read that and are looking for a little bit of YA dystopian sci-fi to spice things up, you might want to check it out. And I'll be looking forward to ramping up things with that as we move forward. With all that's going on, I'm also digging into a major rewrite of the urban fantasy collaboration I was working on last month. I actually got it in the hands of some beta readers who took a look at the draft and had a lot of interesting things to suggest about the story to make it even better. And I'm committed to doing that when I write. So I pulled it back and kind of tore it down and almost started from scratch. But I'm really thankful for the input that they put in. They pointed out some potential plot holes that could have been pretty significant, and I didn't really pick up on them as I was writing it. So that's the way it goes as a writer. You kind of dig into these things, and it's about rewriting and getting it right, and that's what I'm working on. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, you can check out my fan group over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Now let's go ahead and get into our guest for this episode, and I am super excited because we have Dawn Chapman on the show today. Dawn has been creating sci-fi and fantasy stories for 30 years, and in 2005, her life and attention actually turned to TV scripts for a while, and she started working on a TV show called The Secret King in the UK, a 13-episode sci-fi series. Then in 2015, Dawn returned to writing fiction and started writing some more stories there and moved into writing game-lit fantasy and sci-fi in 2017. So that's really cool, and I'm really excited because I'm going to be seeing her soon in person. She actually has been nominated for one of her audiobooks that she produced and alongside one of mine. And so we're both actually going to the same award show coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm looking forward to meeting her in person. But check out my chat with Dawn and see what she's got coming up and some things about what makes her stories really cool. Dawn, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So I'm sure some of the folks out there know who you are, but maybe a few of them don't. So why don't you take a few minutes and give us the introduction of a little bit about your background?
Obviously, I'm Dawn Chapman. I live in the United Kingdom with my husband. We've got a parrot and a lot of fish. I've been writing since I was a little girl, and just recently, in the last sort of like 5 years, decided to start publishing books. Mostly I was a scriptwriter first. That was like screenplays and stuff's my first love. So
Dawn, you as a screenwriter, that's a completely different type of writing than writing prose is.
Yeah, it really is. I originally started screenwriting, I think, in early about 2000. One of my friends got me into it where I worked, and I applied for a college. I think there was something like 2,000 applicants down to 200, and then I actually got selected to go on the course. So the film course itself was pretty good. It was in like my local city, I went there for about a year and a half, I think. Learned all the business side of screenwriting and film and production. Actually produced a couple of little short films, but there you go.
No, that's great.
It's completely different to prose writing, and to actually get back into prose after script writing actually took me quite a while.
I bet it did, because I've heard from other authors that have do a little bit of both, that it really is kind of like shifting gears completely.
Yeah, it is. But I do actually think it helps with the novel side of things, because I tend to think very visually. I know my prose is not really very descriptive. It's usually a lot of action, dialogue, and sort of like they're just very fast paced. And that's just because of the way I've come from sort of like script writing side of things, seeing things from film perspective and how quick movies obviously start up and then get going and finish kind of thing. So that's kind of where I've come from.
Now, you know, it's funny, I write the same way, and it's because I think I went to school for film and video production. And so I have that same kind of background kind of seeing things in a storyboard format and film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I think it really does help. And when people ask for sort of like writing advice and stuff, I say, well, you know, look at the movies, the kind of movies that you like to watch and stuff, and then try and, you know, sort of think of in those sort of terms. Rather than like go and study, you know, prose and kind of like flowery stuff. I'm not a flowery person, really.
No, and it's funny because there are so many different books out there on how to write. And and the challenge is that the reason there's so many different books on how to write is because there's so many different ways to come at writing books.
Yes, there is. There's so many different ways. But, you know, it's just a matter of finding what works for you as well. So I'm kind of glad I went to film school and learned all the, you know, that side of things, because I do think it helped me sort of visualize mine, you know, how I wanted to write sort of like at this time of my life.
Well, and I've heard from others that have gone that route, that it helps them with a brevity of words, that they really use, you know, they learn how to use less words to paint the same picture.
Yeah, it's really precise, and sort of like you kind of thinking from the get go, like every word matters. I don't think there's any sort of, you know, fluffiness or overwriting with my kind of work. I think it's sort of like really concise and tight. Even my editors still tell me to cut things, but that's just the way editors are.
I think editors are, you know, if they don't tell you to cut something, they feel like they haven't done their job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't
Mostly
think I've
my
ever,
editors now.
I've never gotten an edit back that hasn't said, you know, something of the effect of this whole passage needs to go.
Yeah. I think there's one or two definitely.
So I'm looking at you. I know you've got a lot of books out, and I want to talk a little bit about a bunch of them. But we want to talk first off about Desert Runner, which is the Poetera Online book one. And I have to say, that's the one I've just started reading, and I'm already invested in the main character. It seems like Maddie is my kind of gal, I guess.
She was really fun to write, and to be fair, the story itself of where it came from was like really strange. But I actually injured myself at work a few months before I started writing this. And I just messaged my cover designer and said, I've got this idea for a game lit series. Do you think you'd be able to come up with the cover for me? So she said, yeah, I'll have a go. And the cover that she designed was the one for Achillea, so the fourth book in the series. Of which I actually started writing nearly 40,000 words in before she actually put up a pre-order, you know, like a pre-made cover for the first Desert Runner. And I just saw it and I was just like, no, I have to have that. It's just like, she just came at me like that and was like, I'm just going to insert myself right into the beginning of your story. And that was it. So I actually commissioned my cover designer to do the next two for the series. So
Desert Runner's cover was a pre-made?
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome. Because it's a great cover. I mean, it seems perfect for the story. Were you I mean, you had the idea for the fourth book, obviously, and that's the original cover you designed, but this one inspired you. Do you find that covers really help you get in the mood of writing?
Yeah, definitely. I think it really gives me something visual to see. And the fourth, fifth, and sixth books, she actually had them up as pre-made as well. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to buy them as well. I really didn't know where the story was going, but sometimes it's just you just get inspiration from the strangest places. And that's sort of like where the whole series came from, really.
That's great. And you know, it's funny. Invariably, when in the covers I get commissioned, there's always an element in the cover that I see and pick out that's like, oh, I need to put that in the book, where, you know, it wasn't something that, you know, it was something the designer came up with to kind of fit the genre and fit whatever the mood was going to be. But I've done that on several occasions where I'm like, oh, that's good. I got to go back and add that to the book. That's a neat effect. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just with Maddie itself and the fact that she's the car that she's with, which gets a funny little story in the book itself, where its name comes from, and everyone's like, "Oh, we love the hog! It's great!" And it's its own character inside the story, you see. So it was pretty good to come up with all that.
Now, you say it's an NPC story. For those people that aren't familiar with a lit RPG or game lit, why don't you explain how that's different from, say, something else they might read in the genre?
An NPC is what we call like a non-player character. So it's basically a computer program. So Maddie herself is actually computer generalized. She's actually in the story. She does become self-aware. So she knows kind of some of the things that she's programmed to do. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but she starts to sort of like fight the system and fight what she's expected. That's sort of like her main character sort of trait is she doesn't want to be this person that people abuse, basically. She's just there to talk to and be sent on missions and do things, and she doesn't want that anymore. She wants a, you know, like a real life.
No, it's a lot of fun to read. I'm looking forward to getting into it, and I was so excited as I was reading it and going, oh, this is 8 books, this is going to be awesome. I can't believe I haven't picked it up before now, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, good. I do hope you enjoy it. There's a fair few people that do.
I think so. I know I've seen it because I write in the genre too, and I've seen it you know, talked about and well discussed amidst the different forums out there. So that's always good. This story, you know, as you move through, I noticed it's the first couple of ones are short, and then you get to book 4 and it's, you know, it's significantly longer. Is book 8. Is that by design, or did you plan on writing like a trilogy in between with a larger book to wrap it up or something?
I think Akilia was the first one, so I originally sort of had the idea for Akilia to be a full book. With Maddie's story sort of sneaking in before, it was like I just sort of really wanted to sort of like tease people with different kind of character, you know, like story plots and stuff. So I particularly chose to write 30,000 words for each story for Maddie. Because the fourth book was like, I think the fourth book was 105,000 words. And obviously I'd got the other 3 covers for the 3 sisters. I decided to do the same model for Maddie, and I chose 30,000 words for each of those to end then going back to Maddie with the 8th book. And that comes in at 120,000, I think. So.
But you had to wrap it up, right? I mean, that's the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like the last book, in whether it's a trilogy or a longer series, the last book always ends up being longer because there's just more loose ends to tie up.
There really was a lot of things I had to bring together, which was quite it was just interesting. So yeah, but itself is a pretty good story to wrap everything up, and you know, I think it's pretty epic. But that's me. I'm allowed to be a bit biased.
It's great. And I'm also very visually driven. And so like mm-hmm. when I like to get my covers done first and, mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have the idea for the story, but I didn't get the covers ordered and I like put them in my phone background and my computer background. Yeah. And so that I'm seeing the covers everywhere. I even put them on my Apple Watch so that I'm like constantly seeing it everywhere. And it inspires me to write.
Yeah. I think we draw inspiration from a lot of places. So Maddie's character certainly came from a fair few places, put it that way. good fun.
So, you know, this series is obviously wrapped up. What have you, I noticed you've got a bunch of other things out there. Including, looks like a sci-fi series, the Mercurian War. Moroccan War? I'm not even going to try. I'll let you say it.
It's a Moroccan War. That's with Michael Chatfield. That was released sort of late last year, beginning of this year. It's coming out in audio books now. So,
oh, that's great. How is I noticed you have the other books in audio as well. And since there are different characters, you had to have different narrators. Obviously, was that a challenge for you?
A lot of people, I mean, I could have had Andrea Parsno narrate the whole series. It wasn't going to be an issue. And a lot of people seem to think that there was a problem somewhere along the way, but there actually wasn't. Because the characters are completely different, I chose to pick different narrators because I felt that, although obviously narrators can do really, really good voices and can narrate books through whole series, I particularly wanted distinct voices for each of the girls, really. So it was my choice to pick, you know, a different narrator for each set.
But then you bring her back to do the last book at the end, which is great.
Yeah, Andrea's coming back. She starts recording at the end of this month, so I'm really excited for that.
It is an exciting thing to hear your words read back to you, isn't it?
Definitely. It's really strange when you first listen to your work being read by somebody who's obviously really professional. Because they do put, like, you hear a character rather than just, I mean, you've got your own idea of the voice in your head, but when somebody else puts a voice to it, it's like, oh, wow, that's just perfect. And they really do know how to do their jobs really well.
Yeah, I've had the same experience. And I know with the Accidental series, it was, you know, I had a male do the first book because it's a male main character. But in the first trilogy, in the second trilogy, it's the main character's, the first character's daughter that comes into the fantasy game. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, he could have done a good job, I think, doing that. Yeah. But I wanted to do this, you know, 18-year-old girl justice, you know, and I'm glad I did. I really found, you know, it's important to have the right narrator for the part.
Definitely. I mean, I've been through quite a lot of auditions. I actually do audio proofing as well. So I work for quite a bunch of different narrators and authors to proof their work and to work with them. And when they get their books up for auditions, it's really sort of daunting when you suddenly get 50 like applicants with different voices and they find it sort of like really hard. Sometimes it's easy for them to pick out which voices they like, but other times it's really hard for them. So I kind of help with that as well. So I've listened to a lot of voices over the years.
You know, it's funny. I did too. And I think I'm very audio driven because when I first came out of school, I ended up being a sound engineer for TV and film because that was just where there were openings. You know, similar to you, you found the job that was out there, right? So I actually have an affinity for voices. Like in TV commercials, I will recognize famous actors' voices a lot quicker than a lot of the rest of my family does. Because I'm just like, I know that voice. I've got to figure out who that is.
I originally started off with audio books. I was writing prose, and I'd never kind of really thought about audio until I was actually ill one day, and I was like, that ill. Normally I read in bed and stuff, and I never stopped reading when I was younger, but I literally couldn't hold the book, and I was like, oh, there must be an easier way of doing this. And I actually found that my Kindle would read to me, and it was just like my sickness just went so quick because my Kindle was just reading the book to me. But ever since then, it was like, that's it. I just like devoured audiobooks, and my job used to be driving, so I used to drive for 8 hours a day, and that's all I would listen to. And that's kind of how I found Lit RPG and Game Lit anyway, because of audiobooks. So
It's something that is very different way of consuming the story than reading the book. And like you said, that it is a performance art. It is something that they're definitely bringing the characters to life in a way that I didn't certainly envision when I first wrote them. I saw the characters and things, but it was like you said, it's different when you hear someone who's a professional performing this work back to you.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I do enjoy it.
So, you know, aside from writing and your busy work with proofing and other stuff that you're doing, what do you do to kind of have downtime aside from listening to audiobooks?
I don't get a lot of downtime, which is kind of like something that I worked towards the end of last year. I left my driving job and took it was supposed to be part-time. It's only a little local place. Most people know Subway as the sandwich and cookie place. So I sort of packed my driving job in and went to work local. It was only supposed to be 30 hours a week, and then it crept up. And then I was like, no, I'm supposed to be part-time. I've got too much stuff to do, too many things to write. So I just cut all my hours down there and eventually managed, I think about 18 months later, to whittle it down even more. And I actually do take a day off now. Sundays are what I call my gaming days. So I get to play games with my friends online. So that's my real downtime now.
What kind of games are you, like World of Warcraft or stuff like that, or what?
whatever kind of things that originally, like, I didn't have I only have a Mac computer. So Mac and PC most of the time with games aren't compatible. So we were a little bit stuck for kind of what we could play at first. So, but I've actually got a proper gaming laptop now. So we can try all kinds of different things, but we kind of got lost a bit at the beginning of the year with different family problems and stuff from my friends. So we've only just got back into trying to get together again on a Sunday. So,
continues to work out for you. I know it's important, you know, for me to have, you know, something to take my mind away from, you know, especially when I'm in the middle of writing, you know, something, I just tend to delve in and not stop, and I need to take more breaks.
We're very focused, aren't we? Yeah. Even just getting up and walking around the house for 5 minutes is very important. You just end up sat at a computer for like 10 hours a day. And then all of a sudden you realize, why can't I stand up? Why my legs don't work? It's really odd, but yeah, we all need downtime.
Definitely. So where do you like to interact with readers? You've got a lot of books out there. I'm sure you hear from folks. Do you do it online? Is there, do you go to like a local, I know around here in the States, there are lots of little comic cons at local regional things at colleges and things like that.
Yeah. We have local comic cons and stuff. The UK is it does have a couple of big ones, but it's no way near like what the States has in size. Most of the time it's online. So like I have a Discord group and a Facebook page and Facebook group and stuff. But most of the time I find Facebook, because I've got a lot of people and because of the communities I'm involved with, I get a lot of private messages. So I tend to I don't ignore people, obviously. I mean, I love my fans and I will eventually, you know, reply to as many as I can. But if people actually really want to connect and to talk to me, then it's my Discord channel, because if people ask questions in there, then usually that's where I'm hanging out. So,
I must not be geeky enough, because I have no idea what a Discord channel is.
It used to be like the original gamers channel. So gamers would meet up and, you know, you've got your voice chat, your text chat, and I think Discord actually has their own sort of like gaming studio now. So you can purchase games from them and everything as well. This has only just come out this last year. So it's just like the old sort of, is it ICX? I can't remember some of the old channels that we used to chat on.
I used to think I had decent like nerd cred, but like when you said Discord channel, I was like, uh-oh, what happened? I must be old now. That's it. I'm over 50. I'm officially over the hill. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's quite a, for the community, there's quite a lot of Discord groups and a lot of the authors have their own channels. So it's really good to, like, if you want to speak to certain people and you can hang out there and talk to, like, quite a lot of the genre authors, which is really good. And it's just nice to have people that write with you, like, all day long. We can just hang out and
write together and have the odd chat and, you know, oh, it's dinner time, come on, we both need to eat kind of thing. So we kind of just keep each other going all day. It's like an office, but like we're not next to each other.
Well, now I feel like I'm missing out. I'm going to have to check this out, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I appreciate the heads up. So see, I learn something on these podcasts all the time. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Dawn, as we wrap up here, you talked about your Discord channel and stuff like that. We'll have links to all of that in the show notes. Real quickly, what is it you have kind of in the works right now? Is there anything you could talk about that's coming up soon?
I have two secret projects that I'm working on at the moment, and I can't really talk about them. So there's one in the genre, in the game, like sci-fi. It's sci-fi, so it's that's hopefully going to be released this year. And I'm working with somebody else on a different project, but we're kind of keeping that one under wraps for now. We're just working through designs and covers and different bits and pieces.
It's the time for secret projects. I've got a couple of those myself. So I've been hinting at them to my listeners and my people online.
You kind of, but everyone knows I'm writing. It's not like they know because I put it on my Facebook and all day long. They see me writing in Discord and it's like, what are you working on? And I'm like, I can't tell you. It's exciting, but yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, Dawn, thanks for doing that. I'll tell you, when your secret projects come out, please reach out to me and let's get you back on and we can talk about them then.
That sounds wonderful. I'd love to do that. Thank you very much for having me.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I want to make sure you catch up with us online for a whole lot more from the fantasy-focused community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. That's the website and fan group that this podcast is associated with over on Facebook. You can leave a comment if you want to go over to fantasy-focus.com. You can actually comment on any of the episodes. So if you like an episode and are over there, leave a comment. Let me know what's on your mind or ask a question, and I'll make sure to get the author that I've interviewed in that episode back on to leave an answer for you, or give it to me and I'll leave it for you. Either way, we love to hear from you and want you to get in touch and kind of get engaged. So reach out to us. Also, on the website, on each podcast episode, if you'll look right below the play bar where the audio player is, you'll actually find links to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any episodes. Whether you're using a mobile device or you want to just get an email reminding you an episode's available, you can do that over there. We have some pretty awesome episodes coming up soon, including the awesome Ben Stevens will be on the next episode, so check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you want to. Just sign up for my newsletter in the right-hand column. Whatever you do, though, come back to the podcast, subscribe, listen to the next episode. And in the meantime, remember to keep your eyes open out there, folks, because there's magic all around you.